This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. This is Pete Caliendo, your host. I want to thank everybody around the world and in the U.S. for joining us today. Appreciate it. This is going to be another outstanding show from Rome, Italy. What a beautiful city. We are at the World Baseball Softball Confederation meetings. Our tournament committee meeting was today, and we had some great things for 2019-2020. So I want to thank everybody for joining the show. We have another special show for you. We're going to go and talk to two of our good friends in international baseball that have a great experience. George Santiago, who's the COPABE technical director and also former Major League Baseball's game development coordinator for Latin America. And guess what? We're coming back with another umpire, Gus Rodriguez. You all know we had Larry Young with Major League Baseball on a former show. Now we got Gus Rodriguez. He's an NCAA four-time World Series umpire and also the WBSC head of umpires. So it's going to be interesting because we're going to talk managers, relationships with umpires. We're going to talk game development, you know, throughout the world, how to increase getting players to play the game. It's going to be a lot of fun. So first of all, let me introduce and welcome our good friend, George Santiago. What's up, George?
Hey, Pete, how are you? It's great to be with you in Rome, Italy.
And that's all you got for me?
That's all I got. I got some pasta for you. We're going to have some pasta to talk baseball.
Yeah, we've had a lot of pasta in the last couple of days. So, and now I want to thank also our good friend Gus Rodriguez. Gus, how you doing, man?
Pete, un piacere qui in Roma, Italia.
You know what? And you may hear a couple languages. You're going to hear English, you're going to hear Spanish, and you're going to hear some Italian once in a while. So this is for the whole world to listen. I wanted these guys on the show because of the fact that let's start with Gus. I'm going to talk about umpires and coaches. You know, at the younger levels, there's not, you know, once in a while you have a lot of issues that go on with coaches and umpires. Let's start off with a recommendation that you might have, what a young coach should do to understand umpires and vice versa.
Well, the first thing, Pete, welcome to Italy, Rome, Italy.
Yeah.
glad to have you here and glad to be here with both you and George Santiago. But getting down to the question, one of the key things is as a young coach going out to talk to a manager or an umpire, rather, respect. Respect. Treat the umpire the way you want to be treated and vice versa. Don't go out there yelling at him and all that. It's probably you probably have a young umpire as well. So it's both of you guys are learning as you're going along. But if you go out there in a very civil manner, the way you speak to your parents or your teachers and things like that, and then just ask them in a polite way, what do you got? What did you see? Things like that. Rather than screaming at him, hey, he missed a bag, he missed a tag, or something to that effect.
Be more professional, basically.
Exactly.
Now, what do you tell a young coach that, you know, comes out, let's say he comes out to you, and he comes out about a certain rule, but he really doesn't understand the rule.
Right.
He thinks he does.
Right.
How do you address that without getting into a major confrontation?
Well, the first thing is we want to see what is he arguing about, or what is he questioning? Not necessarily arguing, but questioning. And if it's a rule, and, you know, for example, I'll give you a good example. Everybody confuses obstruction and interference. Mm. You know, so they'll come out and they'll say, that's interference. And what he's talking about is that the defensive player obstructed his runner. So then the first thing is, hey, coach, are we asking about obstruction or interference? So I give the coach an opportunity to just tell me what he's arguing about or questioning. And if he says obstruction, if he says interference again, I go, listen, it's obstruction. The defensive is the one that obstructs. Offensive is the one that interferes.
And what about you get a young coach that comes out. Are there certain rules that are above the limit? I mean, you don't ask.
No, that, no, there's nothing in the rules. Judgment is one of the big things. Obviously, you know, I see it one way, you see it another way as a coach. So to question judgment, you might question, hey, what do you have? Was the ball there first? Did he miss the tag? Things like that. In a polite way, you're asking, what did you see?
And sometimes you see on TV, you know, an announcer will say, well, he shouldn't be questioning balls and strikes.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Balls and strikes is different. I mean, you don't want to question balls and strikes. The unwritten rule is, you know, you don't yell at an umpire about balls and strikes. They're going to look at you. They're going to stop, maybe put up the stop sign. This, hey, that's enough. I've heard enough. But, you know, questioning balls and strikes is a no-no.
What's your recommendation when it comes to a young coach to understand the rules better, to be prepared better? You know, I have a friend of mine who will go, to give you an example, I have a friend of mine who's a coach, but he'll go to umpires' sessions.
Right. And I think that that's a key point, that most coaches, they know strategy, they know how to manage the game, but they're weak on the rules knowledge. They know the general rules and things like that, but they don't really delve into it too much. My oldest son is a high school varsity coach in San Jose, California. And, you know, we go round and round sometimes with the rules and everything. So that's one of the things that I would suggest is to, you know, learn a little bit more about the rules. So when they come out, they know when they're arguing. If a manager comes down, he knows the rules. It's totally different than somebody just, you know, yelling at me, hey, this, that, whatever. But they really don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. You know? Folks, we've talked about, we're going to have both guys jump in because they've got so much experience, not only in the U.S., but around the world. George, I'm going to jump here for a second, because you've been with game development. One of the areas I want to talk about, you've been all over the world. What's an area in game development that you see as critical for countries, and there may be more than one, to work on so that way they're developing better players at young levels and growing the game in their own country? What's some recommendations you might have for countries out there?
Bueno, primero, saludo, Pete. ¿Cómo tú estás?
For all our Spanish friends.
¿Cómo estás, Pete? Estamos en Italia, soy casi español.
Yo estoy muy bien.
Y tú dijiste que vamos a hablar diferentes lenguajes, español, inglés.
Sí, sí, no problema.
Japonés, kambawa, kenichiwa, aniaso.
I told you these guys are international, so you're getting a little taste of it.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you for having me on your show here. It's a pleasure, and especially being here in Rome with you and Gus and the rest of the WBSC international folks. It's always great getting together and talking about things and now having this opportunity to talk to the world, because, I mean, people listen to you all around the world. This is great. You know, the first thing I tell people when it comes to development of the game, when it comes to kids, let them have fun. Don't put pressure on them, because baseball is about having fun. And it gets to, you know, a competitive level. And then as we are developing the game internationally, it also becomes a cultural thing as far as, you know, the support. Now the international scene is growing, so people, you know, in the States are supporting kind of the homeland of their parents, their grandparents. So the game is, you know, really about having fun, because players with skills will develop on their own and get to certain levels.
And what, now, since you grew up, since you played, what were some of the differences that maybe, you know, when you grew up, the things that you had fun playing the game of baseball, why you had fun, and now you're seeing some things that maybe coaches are doing that maybe aren't as fun for kids?
Hey, Pete, before that, the biggest difference between when he played and now is the leather baseball and the leather gloves.
Yeah.
That is true. But
the umpire still had the old mask, yeah, and the old chest protector.
That is absolutely true. But in the days when Gus played, you know, with Trick Speaker, Ernest Wagner, actually, Gus pitched the no-hitter when he played against Satchel Paige. And all. So, but no, kind of, you know, joking around, but seriously, with Gus mentioning that, you know, when we were growing up back in those days, there weren't video games and all this stuff going on. So the first thing is you wanted to get out the house to avoid doing homework.
and you went to play basketball, baseball, stoop ball, if you grew up in New York City, mm-hmm. stick ball, any kind of ball. You went football, you went out to play ball, to do exercise. So the first thing is that we went out to play because it was fun and we enjoyed it. Times has changed now, kids with video games and all that, you know, times has changed, TV. There's so many different channels and so much stuff that they can do. The world of electronics has changed things completely.
Changed the game big time. All right. Now, what about skill development when it comes to, you know, working with young kids, you know, as far as their skills are concerned? You say have fun, but at the same time, trying to get the skills accomplished, too, so that way they can properly do certain things in games. Maybe some ideas that you guys came up with or you worked on that coaches can get some benefits from.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I say making it fun, you have to incorporate, because one of the things that I've always said that coach is just another word for teacher. Mm. A coach is a teacher. You know, you're teaching kids on the field not only how to play the game, but you're educating them on how to become better people and the team concept. So when you make it fun and you teach them the proper way of doing it, the game becomes a little bit easier. The kids who do have this exceptional talent, you know, they get to a point in a stage that they know it and they stick out and they start to get better on their own because they're practicing, they're developing. The kid who's not as good, or let's say professionally, a potential professional player, a college player, he's still a good player, and you want to teach him the right way of doing things, of how to play the game, because, you know, part of it is the integrity of the game and giving 100% how you play it. But it's all about you learning your players. You learning your players and teaching them. Because some guys will learn by you telling them once. Mm-hmm. Some guys you have to show them and they learn, you know, visual. And then you also got to find out about who's the player, who's as we call it, a softy, so you can't yell at him too much. And some guys, you do have to yell at them, but in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say yelling, I mean encouragement.
You know, Pete, to add on to that, and I tell this to young officials that are just starting out and everything, the number one thing is you have to have fun. Mm. Whether you're a player or an umpire, you don't want to be out there unless you're having fun. And you got to work hard at it, but you also have to have fun. And that goes with a player, coach, or a umpire.
And you learn much faster.
And you learn much faster when you're having fun. Sure. Nobody wants to go do something that always angry and you're not enjoying.
Absolutely. Now, so, I know you guys both might have opinion on this, because in the States what's happening now, George, is kids are playing baseball all year round and only one sport, especially at the real young ages, you know, the 9s, the 10s, the 11s. You know, and they're not multi. And we like to talk on every show. We do a little bit about this because we don't know who's listening at what time. They're not playing multiple sports,
right?
So we're not seeing. So tell us a little bit what you think what a youngster should be doing. Just playing baseball all year round, or why should he be playing multiple sports?
Well, the first thing is, you know, if you can play several sports, it's great, because, you know, it's good for the mind, it's good for the body, mm-hmm. It develops you as a person. And sure, I mean, everyone has one sport that they like particularly. You know, I remember growing up, baseball was my love, but basketball was my passion. And I played football for the heck of it with the guys in my neighborhood. And then we would go play stickball, different things, you know, go roller skating, doing different things. But basketball and baseball were my two passion. I think, you know, kids should be allowed to play two or three sports. Well, you know, when I used to scout, I had on my list as prospects, and I knew they played basketball, football, or they ran track, I would go see them in other sports.
Great point.
Because that would tell me about him as an athlete, as a person, you know, so I would be able to evaluate him once it got to a player that was considered a prospect to become a professional player. So when I heard of a guy was a two-sport guy, I used to love that. Because I want to see, you know, how is he in other sports?
Yeah, so they're developing athletic skills.
Developing athletic skills, social skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously if you're listening to the baseball coach all the time, you know, a football or basketball coach is totally different in the sense of, you know, the repetitions are going to be different, the drills or so forth. I can speak from experience as a dad. that my kids all played multiple sports, you know, and it gives them a chance that the muscles to relax too. You're using the same muscles for baseball, but when you go play another sport, you're using different muscles. In a case like George said, basketball, now you're jumping up and down all the time in different muscles. You're stop and go running, you're turning. So it's different altogether, but it makes you a much more rounded individual. I think I'm against, you know, now that these players are concentrating on the same sport 12 months a year. Yeah. You need a break from it, you know.
Very, very good reason. George, on scouting, I think you brought up a good point, so I want to address that a little bit. When you're talking about skills, what skills should these young kids be concentrating on for the future also as a scout looks at them? What are the best skills you look for in a player? Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I would say a scout, one of the first things he's looking at if the kid is enjoying himself out there. And is it labor or is it, you know, is it love for the game? That's the first thing. And as far as skills, you know, the most important thing is the basic. Run, throw, and catch. Forget about going to the gym and getting big and bulky and strong. Go out there and throw the ball. Develop your arm. Go out there, you know, catch, take ground balls. Take fly balls. Run. Those are the basic things. You can be the biggest, strongest guy in the world, but if you can't hit the ball,
ain't gonna do any good.
It's not gonna do any good. You may have the greatest arm, but if you can't catch it, you can't run and you can't hit it. So, you know, because, you know, as we say in baseball, there are five basic tools, which is speed, throwing, hitting, power, and defensive work. And if you have two major league tools at a young age, let's say at 16, 17, you're considered what's called a prospect. So if you have average major league speed and let's say a major league glove, you're gonna get attention of people, whether it's professionally or college-wise or high school, but you have an ability right there that's special. So how do you develop it? By the basics. You don't develop it in the gym. You develop by going out to run and picking up your speed. You know, we were just talking about two sports, and, you know, I know that Gus is a hockey guy. I don't know why this hockey guy. I don't understand that sport. It's cold out there anyway. But, you know, if I'm a scout and I go see a guy play, you know, he's playing hockey, he may be a slow runner. But if I see him on skates, this guy is flying. So I'm going to think, wait a minute, how can this guy be so fast on skates and be so slow running? So if I'm interested, I might start evaluating him and say, well, you know what? I got to find out. Maybe the guy's running flat-footed. Mm-hmm. Maybe the guy doesn't run on the balls of his feet. Maybe there's an issue there. Something's going on because on skates, he's flying. So that helps me. It gives me an advantage. But I found that out because I went to see him in the off-season. So those type of things, you know, help out, and it's always good.
All right, the next part, both of you guys on this one, because, you know, we evaluate umpires, we evaluate players. What are some bad habits that an umpire can get into when you're evaluating them that now puts them at a different level and maybe cuts them?
The biggest pet peeve about that is laziness. Mm-hmm. Okay, that if a guy, you can work hard, it's like playing defense. You know, it doesn't take skill to play defense. You got to be able to hustle. And if you're lazy in any, whether you're an umpire or a player, that's the biggest offense that I see. And bad habits, you know, you start, if we're going to get a little technical on umpiring, you know, chasing pitches where you're moving your head, that's a bad habit. You want to track it with your eyes, not your head. Moving, you know, some guys are always moving. Be stationary. Stop and watch the whole play when you're umpiring on the bases.
Interesting you said, you know, track it with your eyes, not your head, because when you're teaching hitting also, you want the guy to track it with their eyes. A lot of times they'll move their head and their eyes aren't focused on it.
Right. So what they see at one point in the pitch, when they go swing at it or when you go call a pitch, you know, it's totally different. So and that's why, you know.
George, you show up to a game, you know, especially for young kids because, you know, habits begin early when they're young, bad habits and good. So when you go to a game, all of a sudden you're a 15- or 16-year-old game, high school game, and all of a sudden you see certain things, you say, that's it. I mean, there's no way I can continue to watch this player. What are some bad things that kids get into, that bad habits they get into?
Well, I mean, I repeat what Gus just said. You know, you look at laziness.
Yeah.
You know, a player shows the laziness. And it's funny, you know, you're asking us this question, because yesterday we were talking about an international player we saw in Canada a couple of years ago. And 2 years later, he winds up signing for a big amount as a free agent, a young man at 17. I'm not going to mention his country nor his name.
Right.
but he's a five-tool player.
But I'm sure somebody mentioned it in social media, because it gets out pretty fast.
I'll let them figure it out.
Yeah.
But this kid at 17 had all five tools that we said, all major league tools.
Wow.
We saw it because, you know, we've been around players, and we saw this ability, but the kid was just lazy. And one day, you know, I went over and I spoke to him. I got permission from his manager. And I said, look, do you enjoy playing? He goes, yeah. And we had a little conversation. I said, you know, there are tons of scouts here watching you.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the best player in this event. Why don't you go out and give it 100%? That day he went out, he got four hits. He threw out a guy at third base, put on a show. The next day, he was back at being lazy, unfortunately. And here's a player that has all the ability in the world. It worked out for him because he wound up signing with a major league organization, and he's been in the big leagues.
Wow.
You know, he was lucky, but not everybody's like that, you know, that has those kind of tools.
Yeah, he had five tools.
He had five tools at the age of 16.
Right. Yeah.
And if he utilized all five tools right now to his ability, he would be a superstar. Instead, he's just a bench player in the major leagues. He's already been traded once, and it's, you know, whether he's in the minor leagues or the major leagues, but this guy could be, you know, a next superstar.
So go ahead, George.
I just want that, you know, and kind of just popped in my mind with Gus saying that, when you know, you look at young kids and you say, oh, well, he's only 14 and or 15, and you see he's lazy and all that. One thing I've learned in the world of scouting, that if a kid is showing you laziness at 14 and 15,
mm-hmm.
when he's 24 and 34, he'll still be lazy at whatever he does in life. A guy who has desire will always show you desire in whatever he does in life. So if a guy is at 15, 16, he's lazy, he may be lucky like this player, but like Gus said, if he's still there, but his ability keeps him in the game, because his talent is amazing, that if he gave 100% every day, this guy would be playing in the All-Star game every year. He would be voted. He might have won MVP by now, but you know, you can't get inside of a kid and do that. It's got to be within.
And this is great information for all our coaches, players that are listening. Also, parents are listening. Now we get into, because when we get back into game development a little bit, we're talking about how important are the coaches at the younger levels, because they can influence a young player right away. And I know you did coaching development, you know, in different countries. So I want you to just talk about how important, you know, developing good coaches are for countries, especially at the grassroots level.
Yeah. No, it's very important. As I mentioned earlier, you know, a coach is just another name for a teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a teacher in baseball.
We can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Like for that young man you just talked about, somebody could have made a difference early on.
Mm-hmm.
If they got him at 8 years old and taught him a little better.
Right. Yeah, that could have happened. A lot of times, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to get into it too deep, but it may be, you know, it's the kid's upbringing and all that.
A family has something to do. Sure, no, bring that up. Absolutely.
A family thing, but
absolutely.
Then the coach can become a positive influence.
Absolutely.
When he's on that field, he expresses himself. And he goes all out. And then when he goes home, well, his home life is his home life.
Yeah.
But when he's on the field is one thing. But, you know, in the early stage, coaches have to realize, and, you know, we keep mentioning it, but at a young age, just make it fun for the kids.
Right. I was just going to add that, Pete, that no matter what, it's got to be fun. And I look at, you know, the umpires, for example, and I tell them, you know, nobody wants to come out here and be yelled at.
Right.
For two and a half hours, 3 hours. So when I'm training umpires, and I've done many clinics all around the world, one of the things that I stress is we're going to have fun. and you have to have fun. And that's one of the things that a good coach, and for you young coaches, make it fun. You know, yes, you can yell at a player for, you know, making a mistake or something like that, but make it fun. And it's like, you know, the same thing with umpires. I try to make it fun for them because I don't want to lose a guy just because we're all human beings. We're all going to make a mistake. But you know what? Learn from it, move on, have fun.
Absolutely. That's why I brought up coaches' education a little bit, because if the coach is having fun and if the coach is encouraging hustle, you know, and explaining why you hustle, you know, and some of the reasons you talked about, I think that's why coaches and parents, we talk about parents on the show a lot, they have a big, you know, part of their son's or daughter's development. Mm-hmm. So if the coach is involved with educating the parents, because a lot of times the parents don't know. You know, and that, so it just helps everybody in general. So I thought that was great. And
yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I'm sorry, just to add to that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that a coach has to take a responsibility and also realize what his limit is on teaching and not feel embarrassed, because, you know, no, you know, we don't, I mean, I've been fortunate to travel the world and be involved in baseball, you know, for over 30 years. I don't know it all. You can learn from other people. So, you know, if you're working with young kids and you've reached your limit, there's no harm in you trying to learn from other people, bringing other people in, because that's all part of the
learning process. Or listening to the podcast that Pete Caliendo.
Yeah, that will educate you every week.
Absolutely. There you go, yeah.
And sorry, guys, I don't have any money to pay you for these plugs. You know that.
Yeah. You can write in.
That's right. Send donations.
By the way, we said that exactly the way Pete wrote it for us to say.
And you are
we got it in liras, not in dollars.
And you are both setting the example of what fun is, right?
Exactly.
You're going to have fun in the field, have fun on a podcast. It's a lot more entertaining. Love it. Now, I want to address this, because in rules, you know, there's certain rules that some coaches may not know, including myself. One of them, I want you to explain this, because the left-handed balk,
right?
Okay. Everybody has their own thinking, you know, the 45, the this, the that. I explain that. I want it to be as clear as possible.
Not just make everybody right-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's better. Isn't it? Yeah, only right-handed pitchers.
Exactly.
And left-handed catchers.
You know, the mythical explanation is the 45-foot line or degree and all this stuff, and it doesn't say that in the rule book.
Thank you.
Okay, but we divide the mound. Almost like in quarters, okay? And then we say, okay, if you're the biggest thing I look at for on a left-hander, or I looked at when I was umpiring, is he deceiving the runner? What is his intent, to deceive the runner, or is he trying to make a legitimate attempt at picking him off?
So that's the umpire's judgment.
That's the umpire's judgment. Okay. And if he's leaning more towards home plate as he's throwing to first base, you know, did he deceive me in any way? And that's the biggest thing. But there's the myth about the 45-degree angle is just that. I mean, you're older than me, so you probably remember the days when they did do that in the spring training, where they put a line on the chalk mound.
He was the guy putting the guy on the ground.
Actually, I was a groundskeeper at the time. Mickey on baseball school.
He was the linesman.
So, you know, but that's one of those finer points that it's all judgment.
Well, I want to talk about a few of those, because, you know, here comes another one, the check swing.
Right.
You know, the barrel, the hands, let's explain that too.
Did he make a legitimate attempt to swing the bat? Bottom line, you know, there's we look for the bat crossing the plate, or, you know, did he break his hips or doing this and all that? What you're looking for is, did he make a legitimate attempt at swinging the bat?
So when you hear somebody, the announcer on TV, say did they break his wrist?
Hands.
Yeah, did they pass the hands?
Exactly.
Or home plate or
it's, you know, there is a in the rule book, and I don't have it in front of me right now. What it says, and the interpretations that the umpire manual has. It breaks down a little bit more, you know, what to look for.
And that's what sometimes the coaches don't have, is the interpretation.
Right. Exactly. And that's the key. And that's where, you know, we're doing at WBSC. We're trying to, you know, create the interpretation. I know Major League Baseball has done a great job for their umpires and their managers. that they have an interpretation, MLB interpretations and all that. So those are the kind of things that, yes, we have these old wives' tales to speak of, you know.
And we
the tie goes to the runner, right?
Oh, there you go. You just mentioned this. Let's mention that.
Yes.
Explain tie goes to the runner.
Something has to happen one before the other. I mean, did you hear the ball hit the glove, or did you see the foot touch the bag? One had to happen before the other. There's no such thing as a tie goes to the runner.
You know? All right.
It doesn't exist? Yes, I lost about 50 hits.
And you're listening to the technical director of Copave, George Santiago. Ball hits the hand, the bat. You know,
if you're making a legitimate attempt to swing it, the hand, it's a strike or a foul ball. You know, so
if it hits the hand first.
If you're swinging and trying to hit the ball, it's a strike.
And if you didn't make the complete swing, or
that's where you need to first get an appeal. You appeal to the base umpire. Was it a legitimate attempt? And if it's ruled to be a legitimate attempt, then it's a strike.
Okay.
You know?
Now you're going to know better than I do. What? Give me some others that might be out there that you've heard, so maybe help our audience with some more. A few others. Do you have any others that the coaches really need to understand, because they're going off myths or going off what somebody else said?
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, someone had mentioned to me, and then I saw it on a replay. Guys at the plate, he swings at the ball, and the ball breaks inside and it hits him in the chest. But he swings the bat. Is that a strike?
That is a strike.
Oh, it is a strike. Go to first base.
No, that's a strike. And if it's strike three, the ball's dead, you know. So,
I'll give you one. Ball bounces on the ground. Guy gets a home run off it.
It's a home run.
There we go.
It's a legal pitch.
I guarantee you'd have questions on that if it happened.
Who was the worst bad ball hitter you ever saw?
Boy, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
You played against him.
Probably me.
Roberto Clemente.
Oh, yeah.
You played against him when you went to
the league. There was two on the same team.
Who's the other?
Manny Sanguillan.
The
catcher.
Yeah.
And another both guy, good hitters.
Both good hitters and both the worst bad ball hitters, you know.
So the ball hits the ground first and it pops up and it hits me as a hitter.
I get on base.
I go to first base?
Yeah.
Hit by pitch.
Yeah, definitely.
I told you, Pete. You owe me some pasta. Pasta dinner.
Maybe let's change it a little bit. You know, maybe some, clams and oysters, you know. A little bit more healthy for the day.
As long as there's some vino.
There'll be plenty of vino. Okay, give me anything else. We'll try to round it off here a little bit. As far as umpiring concerned, you know, any rules or for coaches that they really need to understand? No, like the infield fly rule, that's also sometimes misunderstood. Maybe we can clear the infield fly rule up a little bit.
Infield fly, you know, that if the runner the runner is on the bag and the ball hits him, he's not out. The batter is out, but not the runner. You know, now
if he's
off the base, then yes, he's out. And you know, but no, he's protected by the bag.
How about the questionable one, like the infielder is in a certain position, then he goes out? It happened, I think, 5 years ago.
It was a playoff game when they had six umpires.
Right.
Yeah.
Explain that.
You know, it was probably the right call, but mechanic wise. You know, it's the base umpires that usually call it, okay? But to the more technical on it is, you can call an infield fly and the ball drifts out to the outfield. And it winds up where the fielder makes the catch in the outfield grass, but it's still an infield fly, okay? The true definition is that a easy and ordinary play for the infielder. So the infielder could be camped under it, even though it's in the outfield grass, and it's an infield fly.
All right, super. All right, George, any last-minute advice, just, you know, in general, in coaching, if you're going to get into coaching or if you're in coaching, anything that you feel is important that coaches need to understand, you know, to make themselves better? That's what the show's all about. We're just always trying to help either coaches, players, and parents make themselves better in the game, whether they're teachers, whether they're, at any level, it doesn't matter, the youth level, any level in coaching.
Well, obviously, you know, if you want to get better, you got to listen to the Pete Caliendo podcast.
I told you these guys were funny.
If you can't listen to it, order his videos.
That'll be at the end of the show. We'll talk more about the videos.
And soon to come, his videos will be available in Italian, Spanish, Chinese, and Japanese.
You know, folks, this is going to be definitely, it will be in a very informative show, but it will be the funniest show that I've had in 80 episodes. So this is your
time
chance.
Time to wake up.
Folks, we're in rural Middle East. So remember, we're all in a different time zone. We haven't been drinking. We're just in a different time zone. So, George, I'm going to let you finish it off. Any last-minute advice?
Well, as you know, we continue to repeat the word fun.
Yeah.
But it's keeping it fun. And the beauty about baseball is that no matter where you go in the world, the game's the same. You know, people love the game. In closing, what I like to say is that the WBSC, which is the World Baseball Softball Confederation, has been doing a tremendous job on international baseball. International baseball has grown tremendously in the last 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know much about it, I would say look into it, especially with us being part of the Olympic Games now in 2020. And all kidding aside, listening to Pete's podcast will also keep you updated on the international world of what's going on. Because baseball, in some areas, it's going down, unfortunately, but in a lot of areas, it's going up. It's growing, and we are part of the that international movement. So whether you're a fan of the game on watching it live on TV or the merchandise, continue being a fan of the game. We want everyone to stay in contact with the game. And just, be involved in baseball. Just remember, there's no crying in baseball. So, keep listening to Pete. He'll keep you updated.
And don't forget, we talked to Beppe Gulizione yesterday, along with Jim Baba from Italy and Canada. We talked about, the WBSC. We're going to have the show notes. We're going to have go to the website, WBSC.org. We'll have that on the show notes. You can check out the organization. They are doing a fantastic job in the development of the sport. We talked about 5-on-5 yesterday, the sport. With both
baseball
Jim.
Five.
Baseball no, five, excuse five. Me. Baseball five. We talked about that on the show. So, Gus,
the last thing is that.
And to the coaches, I want you to message to the coaches one more thing.
They keep learning. And you know what? Learn the rules, number one. But number two, keep learning. We all of us have been in this game a long time, and we find new things every day. And the game is changing, but it's not. Okay, so, but there is a lot of new tools out there to make the game more fun for the kids, and practices have to be fun for the kids. Otherwise, you lose them real quick, as you know, Pete.
Yep, exactly.
And it's keep learning. You always learn something new drills, new things, and keep doing that. And Pete, congratulations on your 85th show. And keep up the good work.
And for the coaches out there all over the world, don't forget, if you want to really understand all about umpire, let your kids umpire practice games when you're doing it, because you're going to get a real understanding how tough it is. Umpires have to start out perfect and stay perfect. Well, that ain't going to happen. And for your kids to understand it, put them in those positions. I have our kids, calling balls and strikes in practice games. They coach the bait, or they call the bases. They really get an understanding how hard it is so that they can appreciate it. And now, not only will you may even get some kids that will be umpires in the future. They might
that's
like
right.
it.
Exactly.
Right? So that's what we encourage.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Thank you to thank you to George Santiago. Thank you, George, for being on the show, man.
De nada. Then Pete.
Thank you, Gus Rodriguez.
All right, Pete. Thank you.
All right,
keep up the good work.
Special thanks to both these guys, along with Brian Kroc, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is Baseball Outside the Box. Don't forget to email me any questions. Forward the show all over the world if you can to everybody in the game, and let's try to grow this show together. Love you all. Have a great coaching day. And not sayonara, but ciao from Roma.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.